It's now time to hear from our own sheroes in this congregation. And our first speaker will be Joyce Tarleton, whose grandmother was one of the women to benefit from the right to vote.
Good morning. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my grandmother, Mayor. She was born Juanita Louise Powell on May 5, 1898. And when the 19th Amendment was passed, she voted for the first time in 1920. At that time, she was living in Hamilton, California, which is a little gold mining town off the Yuba River. She was very independent. She was born on Cinco de Mayo, which is a holiday that we celebrate as Mexicans, Independence Day. And she was very independent. When my grandfather could not get work as a gold miner in the 30s, he went off to South America to mine gold there, and she ran the family. And she drove around California. She continued to vote. She voted with her mother-in-law, her sister-in-law, and her husband later. And she became independent in 1954. She came to live with my mom and my sisters and myself, and she continued to vote. But she was also a little bit quiet about who she voted for. She didn't want to talk about it. She refused to talk about who she voted for, and she would just say, "That's for me to know and you to find out." And the only other thing she said that about was her age. But she was a dear lady, and she did continue to vote. And I know recently I asked my son, what did he remember about his grandmother? And he said she always voted. And in the 1970s, when he was considering what he would do about voting, he asked her, "Who did you vote for in 1932 when Roosevelt first became president?" And she answered very quietly, "Hoover." So I guess that she was a registered Republican, and I look at the records and I find that she voted every election, all the way up to her 80s when she'd have my mom take her absentee ballot. And that became sort of a thing that our family did. We all voted, and often I worked as a poll worker from 2000 until 2016, and often arriving at the polls for 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. day to help people vote, I thought of my grandmother and how proud she would be of me. And the only thing I'd like to add is, what can we do next? Thank you.
Well, I was in the second wave of feminists, and in 1971, I did a feminist service at the UU Church of Lincoln, Nebraska. It got almost as many people to come to it as the minister's sermon on sex. After the service, I organized a chapter of the National Organization for Women, and then I went with my historian husband to Washington, D.C., and my two children. While he did research, I lobbied on Capitol Hill for women's issues, child care, and the Equal Rights Amendment. On that visit, I met Alice Paul at the National Women's Party, but since I'd never had any women's history, I didn't know who she was. Just like Alice Paul confessed, she didn't know anything about Susan B. Anthony or Elizabeth Cady Stanton, because women's history isn't included in any of the history books. I became a key person because Roman Ruska, who ironically was a UU, was a key player on the Judiciary Committee. And their tactic at that point was just never to call a committee vote. So I spearheaded an effort in Nebraska. I went back, and on August 26, 1971, I got the governor to declare it Women's Equality Day in Nebraska. God sent me 300 Methodist women to the ceremony on the steps of the Capitol to show that there was support for Equal Rights Amendment in Nebraska. Finally, in March of 1972, Senator Ruska voted for the Equal Rights Amendment. It was out of the Senate, and Nebraska was the second state in the Union to ratify. So I was active as a community activist, and I also had been involved with the National Women's Political Caucus. So seeing women needed a larger voice in politics, I naively decided to run for a seat in the U.S. Congress in 1972 against an incumbent. The local paper praised me as an eloquent and dedicated spokesman for human rights, and then they endorsed the incumbent who had brought Lincoln the federal office building. So instead of going to Washington, I went to law school. But in the summer of 1974, between my second and third year, my daughter and I went to Washington, D.C., to lobby for Women's Lobby. At 8 years old, my daughter lobbied in the halls of Congress. They lined the halls of Congress with women and girls to get support for implementation of Title IX. And then when I finished law school, I returned to Washington, D.C., because there were no jobs in Lincoln, Nebraska for a known feminist. So we have seen much progress in women getting elected to Congress. And now this year, we have a huge surge of women running for Congress. Women are getting mad, and we hope you'll support them. Now I want to hear from Juliet, who is going to share her experience.
So I'm going to tell you a story to start this. Almost 2 years ago, I packed up with my entire family, my wonderful parents, Rich and Glinda, who many of you know, and my husband, John, and our then 2.5-year-old Phoebe. And we flew across the country to take part in the Women's March on Washington. It was an amazing day. It was clear and sunny. It was brisk, not too cold. The subways were packed to the gills with people. It took us over an hour to squeeze onto a subway car. And when we made our way out of the subway station, I was really overcome by the enormity of the crowd and of that moment. It was truly inspiring. And then it was overwhelming, particularly with the 2.5-year-old in tow. My husband and I decided we'd head back early to try to avoid the crush of the crowds. And I was having a hard time following him as we made our way back towards the subway station, like salmon swimming upstream in this huge, ever-growing crowd. And I lost track of my husband, and my daughter and I were separated. Just then, Phoebe decided she needed to go to the bathroom. And of course, I didn't have any more diapers on me. So I'm desperately trying to inch towards the subway entrance, which I can see, but it's completely, you know, obstructed with people. And it was just body on body. Everyone was kind of pushing each other. And I must have elbowed someone or pushed them. All of a sudden, a guy swiveled around to face me with a really menacing grimace and loudly yelled, "It's not cool to push people, lady." He gave me a hard shove backwards, and I started to stumble. And just then, I looked over, and I saw Phoebe turning her head to look back at me, falling. And I snapped. I took both of my hands, and I shoved that guy back as hard as I could, and I yelled, "I need to get my daughter to the subway station now." And then the guy gave me this look, and I was sure I was going to get punched in the face. Have you ever had that moment? I hope you haven't. But you know when someone's going to punch you in the face. Like, you can feel the electricity. And all I could think was that Phoebe was watching me, and I had to stand my ground even if I got punched in the face. And I will tell you, if we had been anywhere other than the Women's March, I would have been. But some people started pulling this guy back and telling him to, you know, telling people to clear the way. This woman needed to get to the subway station. And when I finally got there, the crowds opened up. The subway station was pretty much empty by that point. My legs were shaking. I was really scared. Why am I telling you this? It's not because I'm proud of it. I am completely sure that there were a lot of better ways I could have handled that situation. But it illuminates the contradictions of my activism. It's inspiring, it's uncomfortable, and it can be very scary, particularly as a woman. But I continue to go out there. I continue to stand my ground because that's what my mother and all of the women that we just saw reenacted in the Reader's Theater did for me. They've fought and they've charted a path forward, and I'm trying to continue that. And yet here we are. You know, it's almost 100 years later, and we've made strides, but 80% of congressional representatives are still men. And in my little corner of the world, which is water, the numbers are much worse. UC Davis just did a study of San Joaquin Valley and all of the waterboard seats. There were over 500 waterboard seats. There were zero women of color in any of those seats. So this has become my new focus. I'm really interested in waterboard elections. They're usually some of the cheapest, the least expensive to run for, and a great feeder for women and people of color to start to think about how they can get involved in public service. So I thought I should probably walk the walk that I'm talking here. And about 2 weeks ago, in between daily trips to Sacramento to fight for safe drinking water, I stopped at the Contra Costa County Clerk's office and I filed papers to run for my local sewer district. Okay, sewers are not that glamorous. Running for election is scary, but I know I'm on the right path and I am looking for others to join me. So please let me know if anyone's interested in running for water board. Thank you.
I'm Long. Kat asked me to speak a little bit today about what I've done, which is not very much. I would call myself a novice. I would definitely call myself an introvert. Just speaking here today makes me nervous. But I will tell you a little bit about my journey. Am I not speaking close enough? Is that better? Okay. So when I was 8 years old, my mother said I could write to the president because I didn't believe that we should be fighting the war in Vietnam. And so I wrote that letter. And that was President Johnson, and I got a response back. And I felt a little bit empowered by that little experience that I had. From then on, my mother did encourage my voice. She encouraged my opinion, and she set an example for me. She was Ruth Vreeland, and she ran for city council of Monterey, and she won that seat, and she kept winning that seat. She stayed in that seat, rotating into the mayorship for 20 years. She was a naturalized citizen. She had come from Canada when she was 16 years old. She was very patriotic to this country. She was always an optimist. She was energetic, way more than I could ever be. And she was an activist, but she was also a Unitarian. She took me to church with her. I grew up mostly in Canada and abroad, so I didn't have much of a U.S. history or even much involvement in understanding the U.S. government. But when it came time for Barack Obama, I jumped on board. I was what we called an Obama mama. I remember going to Petaluma and learning about how to make phone calls and how to stand on the street corner with a sign, and I got pretty excited. Of course, I was even more excited when it was time for Hillary. And I remember wearing white for the suffragists when I went to vote for Hillary that day. And after that day, I was devastated. I couldn't get out of bed. I even had to call in sick to work. But I was also inspired. And so I got myself up, called my friends, and we decided to march for women in San Francisco. We made our signs. We made our hats. My friend is a knitter, and we made some beautiful pussy hats, which we were wearing that day, and we continue to wear them. We started marching in that first women's march in January. Then we had to march again for science, for families, for health care, and for gun safety. And here we are again, getting ready to march again. Most of us, most of my friends and I, had never marched before. People told us they were afraid for us to go to San Francisco and march out there in the crowds, especially the last one, which was gun safety, which was sort of a little more frightening because we didn't know who else might show up. But it was good, and it felt good. I've gotten involved with social network. I'm on Facebook. I follow Twitter. I'm learning Instagram. I've been to postcard parties where we send postcards. I've made calls. I've learned how to make texts. I've visited my local congressman's office. I joined the League of Women Voters. I joined Swing Left, and I joined Indivisible Marin. I even texted from home for John Ossoff. And I've sent money to organizations and to individual campaigns. Recently, I met Juliet at church, and she told us about the Safe Water for California, which was a shocking, I was shocked to learn that there were so many people in California that don't have safe drinking water. It really did worry me, and she told me there was something I could do. I could go to the board, the North Marin Water Board, and talk to them about it. And so I found out the date and marched myself down there thinking of Juliet and Kat and gave my little spiel in front of the board. Noticed that they were all male and they had zero questions for me. Basically just, you know, ignored me the best they could. And I went home thinking about that and thinking about why was it all male and why were they so uninterested in what I had to say. Came back to church, talked to Juliet again, and she said, you know, you're right. A lot of these boards are all male, and they need to be more diverse. And I started thinking about that, grabbed my own daughter, who's 25, and took her to the Marin Women's Political Action Campaign dinner just last week. That's a place where they taught us the nuts and bolts of how to run for office. So I'm getting my education. Every act has an effect, whether that's small, like bringing your own shopping bag or cup to the coffee shop, carrying a sign, attending a meeting, or even a rally. One might call a representative, wear a pussy hat, or just encourage your friends to vote. You can help educate, you can help register, you can remind people and drive them to the polls. Our optimism and our work toward the change we believe in is what our country needs from each of us. Thank you very much.